Voices Radio Network.
The views and opinions of Muscle Minds is for informational and educational purposes only.
Better, stronger, faster.
Welcome back to Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. I'm Scott McNally. This program, as well as all of the Advices Radio Network programs, are brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You could use our code ADVICES at checkout to help support the program, as well as to get some additional savings. If you buy in bulk, you'll get 10% off using that code, but that's because our code gives you 5%, and if you buy in bulk, you get 5% automatically. Great products, though. I'm still using the MPA Muscle Intrusion, super happy with that, mixed with Pepto-Pro. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's been, honestly, that's been my favorite intra-workout program that I've ever used. It mixes super clear and super light, and I feel like it just digests so much better than a lot of the different carbs that I've used over the years. It feels like it just, there's no effort to getting it into my system, if that makes sense.
It's highly branched cyclodextrins in there, right?
Yes.
That stuff's great. And then the Pepto-Pro, of course, it goes right in.
Yeah, that's like
something. Yeah.
Now I've seen hydrolyzed whey, and I know that I started using Pepto-Pro just because I've heard it so fast. I never really read anything about it, though. Do you know about the differences here? I mean, are we really splitting hairs when it comes to like Pepto-Pro versus hydrolyzed whey, stuff like that?
So that I've looked into that, and that's a weird, that's a really kind of obscure sort of thing to dig into, because when they hydrolyze, you got hydrolyzed whey is made from whey. Pepto-Pro is made from casein. So those are, you know, when you go through the process of extracting the protein from milk, like milk curdles, you get whey curdles, and you know, you get whey protein, you get casein. What's the fairy tale or the I'm blanking out on here. Anyway, you can get whey protein, you can get casein, are the two proteins that come, but. It used to be you could actually get whey protein from it's like something that kids would eat, children would eat.
Really?
Anyway.
Huh.
Yeah. So casein is has different peptides in it, different proteins in it. It's one of the things, like casein, for instance, when it's broken down in the gut, ends up forming some tri and dipeptides.
Okay.
That bind the opiate receptor in the gut, and thereby slow digestion. And it also forms a clot in the gut too.
Okay,
hear us in the background.
That's all right.
So that's why casein is such a slow protein, and why, like, you know, God, the study from Boree from way back when showed it as a nighttime protein. That's why they included the nighttime protein.
Okay.
You get different hydrolysis products when you hydrolyze whey. And that just has to do with the different peptidases that are used to cleave at different amino acid sequences.
Hmm.
So you end up with different peptides. You end up with different when you hydrolyze whey versus hydrolyzed casein. And like, there's some rat data showing that hydrolyzed whey can increase glycogen resynthesis after exercise. Irrespective of its ability to increase insulin, too. So anyway, if you look, and I've dug and dug and dug, if you look at what, try to figure out what the kind of profile of amino acids and di and tripeptides are, and the extent of hydrolysis that you get in hydrolyzed whey versus casein products, it's a crapshoot.
Hmm.
So you could throw a certain combination of peptidases, proteases in to a whey product, and Depending on which ones those are, you could get a certain profile of amino acids and proteins, actually probably depending on the pH at which this was all done, too. Mm. And that would differ if your starting material were casein.
Oh, no kidding.
So, okay. And yeah. So, like, it sounds complex because it kind of is. Like, you're basically that different starting material, and depending on how it's processed, you'll get a different end product.
Mm.
The Pepto-Pro is super, I mean, it's super easy to... It's pre-digested, of course, basically.
Yeah.
And it's super easy to absorb. And I think they probably, finagled that in the course of making it such that it would have that effect. There's actually a cycling study showing a performance ergogenic effect
really?
On Pepto-Pro.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. Yeah. It definitely, I can tell you that there's zero, I can feel zero effort. Like, anytime I've used intra-workout shakes, There's always some level of, like, you got to mix it with enough water to get it to digest well, or, you're still going to be burping here and there post-workout. I'm still feeling full, stuff like that. But with this combo, it's like I didn't even consume. I'm only using 25 grams carbs, 25 grams protein, plus some essential aminos. But really, after the workout, I'm starving. Like, it's not like I drank or ate anything during that time,
Yeah, you may be getting a bit of an insulin release from that, and then the contractions, the exercise itself is, you may be like driving your glucose down, not that you're getting hypo, maybe even getting close to being hypo, so you've got some insulin, and that can increase your hunger.
Yeah.
That can create an appetite effect.
I mean, possibly. I guess what I mean, though, is that, like, normally I would be hungry, and ready right. to eat after training. But a lot of times in the past when I've used an intra-workout, I'm feeling like full still. You know what I mean? It's like after I train, then it's like, oh, I need time to still digest what I just drank while I was training before I can put more in, that type of thing.
Yeah, you don't got to digest Pepto-Pro really at all.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy with it. Expensive, though. Yeah. That's the only downside to it, I think, is the cost.
I mean, Dante, I said, it's been a while. He said he thinks that's as far as like, for what you get, it's a total luxury supplement.
Yeah, it really
is. As far as if you wanted to like get the most bang for your buck supplement wise, Pepto-Pro would be at like the bottom of his list.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool and you will adapt, your GI will get used to handling intra-workout carbs and protein over time.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this. I've had clients who use friggin' dextrose and whey concentrate, and they were bloated as shit when they started, and you get used to it after a while.
There was a time when dextrose was our only option. Remember that for intra-workout?
Well, in maltodextrin.
Yes.
You go to like the brewery shops and get maltodextrin, yeah.
Had you ever done that?
A little bit better. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, actually, let me, people will like this. You wanted to bring up some old stories.
Okay.
It's just everything. This will be like 15 seconds. Be right back.
All right, guys. Stand by. Dr. Scott's got something for us. Oh, my God. What do we got here? What was that giant drum that looks like a chemical drum?
That drum was a drum that it's close to chemical drum. It's actually made of cardboard, but it's a great, I use it as a table. The address on there was from Georgia.
Okay.
Where I was doing my postdoc, and I had gotten those previously from a company, I think they're still in existence, that predates True Nutrition as far as bulk protein.
Really?
And I ordered like 50 pounds of whey concentrate.
That's what that was?
It came in that drum. Yeah, it came in that cardboard.
What we were looking at, guys, was this big cardboard drum with like a metal end for anybody listening at home.
It's just cardboard, actually. But
oh, it's a cardboard end. Okay.
It's all cardboard, yeah.
It's a giant drum, though.
It was full of protein. Like that came full of protein because that's how they sent it to you. Like because there was only one place to get bulk protein.
Yeah, that was before True Nutrition, huh?
The company I think is still. I'm not going to say who it is because they're a competitor, but I think they're still around. But they predate True Nutrition.
Oh wow, that's something else.
So that's when you get way contract. You couldn't get. Like in bulk like that, it would just been crazy expensive.
Yeah.
And I'd go to like brewery places. When I was in Georgia, like in grad school, I used to go like to the meat packing plant.
Really?
Or to the meat, like the distribution center.
Okay.
And I met a guy who's like a, like back, like literally I go into the back alley and I would buy 100 pounds of chicken breast and 20 in bags.
Wow.
Just like big, like you're like, you know, the food grade bags that actually True Nutrition used to sell stuff in, like they're plastic.
Yeah.
They don't even do that anymore. Now they have Ziploc bags. Before you could buy the food grade bags. That's
I
what
remember
I would
that.
Buy that shit in. I was like the chicken breast dealer for all my buddies in grad school.
That's funny, man.
And I'd buy chicken breast for $1 a pound.
Nice.
I'd buy $100 for 100 pounds of chicken breast.
Yeah, yeah.
20 pound bags, and I'd give them, like I'd bring them to school. I'm like, okay, either you get these, you pay me now because I don't have any way to keep them cold. You have to take them home.
Yeah.
And put them in your fridge or your freezer because I just bring them in and they'd be in the back of my truck.
Dang! Wow.
So. Yeah, that's how we used to do it back in the day. But that drum, I came across that because I've been cleaning out the house, doing the remodeling of the house, and I forgot I still had that thing. I think I had like some, I had pillows in there, I think, you know.
So okay.
Jam stuff down in there. But yeah, that's how you had to do it back in the day.
That's funny, man.
It's just, yeah.
I used to go to there was a Norm's Market, which is an old butcher shop. Where that's all they do, you know, just a little family butcher shop, probably been there since the 50s or so. Had been there ever since I was born, basically. I would go there. Wow. They would grind chicken for me, which was nice because usually they have to clean the machines out to put the poultry in there. You know, if they're doing red meat, they could just go to the next meat. But they have to wash everything down, and they would grind it as long as I did a bulk order. So I'd get like 20 pounds of ground chicken breast and they'd put it in those bags. I'd get a couple of those bags and it was just literally just a big plastic bag full of ground chicken.
It was I bought a meat grinder. Though.
Did you really?
I had a meat grinder. Yeah. Like one of those mount to your kitchen table.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd drop it in there and I'd grind that shit by hand.
Nice.
Cause you couldn't get ground chicken breast. They have the ground
turkey.
Chicken
oh.
and turkey.
Oh, but it's not just clean.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was hard to find. Like now, it's easy to find like 99% ground turkey or even ground chicken if you want. But back then, you couldn't.
Yeah.
So I would take those bags and do what they did for you. I wish I could have had someone do that for me back in the day. But yeah, same shit, man.
That's funny. So, we've got a couple questions here, guys. Well, we got a handful of questions. These are from Scott's message board. We're going to figure something out because we don't have the form over at Advices Radio that we've always used. So we don't have those questions. I'm debating on how we do it, Scott. We might want to start like a Facebook group, and that way we can post questions up there. Something like that where people can interact more. I'm not sure yet. You know, we can figure that out down the road. But for at the moment, the only way we're going to be able to collect questions is just through our social media posts moving forward. We got a handful of questions today, but before we got to them, Scott had a story I wanted to hear about. And I've got something I think I can share that's going to be kind of similar. You were at the gym parking lot the other day, and what happened?
This is just yesterday. So, this gym is really empty. I'm going to this gym because it's Sunday and I just like want to go in and get a workout done. And I like this gym. It's got really good equipment selection.
Okay.
And I just go and get it done and get out. And this guy, I don't know if there's a thing or it was very odd, but he kind of was watching me in the gym, you know. That happens. There's only like four people in a very, very large gym, maybe five guys. So and this guy, I'm finishing up, and you can kind of tell because I had to go grab my stuff, and I squat down packing all my shit into my bag. So this guy goes out, and I'd seen him in there previously. I think like the time before that I'd been at the gym. And he's out, and he's parked right in front of the gym, and he's got his trunk open. Like, literally, it's right there in front of the front door of the gym.
Yeah.
In the parking spot closest to the front of the gym. He's got his trunk open. And actually, I think I still had my headset on, which is basically, you know, I'm not available for conversation headset, you know?
Right, right.
And so I'm looking out, and he starts talking, and I stop and I just kind of looking at him. I just got this sense like this is not a question I'm going to want to hear. You know, you just kind of tell, you know, sometimes just the way they start coming across. So he's like, hey, I got a question for you. I'm like, yes, how can I help you? And he's like, I wondered if, and he starts digging in his trunk and he digs and digs and digs. And I'm like, looking, I'm like, oh shit, what's this guy going to do? And he's like, do you know anyone in town who might be interested in these products?
Oh, yeah.
And
they have like vacuum cleaners?
I'm wondering, I'm like,
door to door vacuum cleaner salesman. That used to be a thing.
It was a dark gym, and I had just come out in the light, so it was kind of like even pretty bright. So yeah. he's like, and I really couldn't even kind of see what was in there, so I sort of stepped back.
Yeah, might have been alligators.
I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, he just got the shit in a box. There's a tarantulas in there or something.
Yeah.
And
exotic
and
pets
I look at
in
it, and
Florida.
It's a bunch of little boxes of product, and I'm like, and I'm like,
perfume.
Those are steroids. And he's like, yeah. And I said, no.
Yeah.
I walked away from him.
Huh.
And that was it.
Huh. Yeah. He had a lot in there too.
He had a box. It was probably a 14 by 14 by 10 box. It was just full of a bunch of little boxes of, you know, stuff. I didn't even look.
Like enough to go to prison, basically.
Yeah, probably. That doesn't take much. Really, the way they count things up, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, motherfucker. Like, so I'm going to go in. I'm going to see him again. I said, if you ever talk to me again, in fact, I'm going to just report. Why should I not report you right now to the gym because you're doing this? That's bullshit.
Did you say that?
No, I just walked away from him. I was done. I just want to go home and eat, you know. But I'm just like, motherfucker. Like, there's probably a security camera like right there. Like, literally, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I haven't even looked. But
yeah,
it's just like. I don't even like want to be involved with someone who's that stupid. It's like get your stupidity away from me.
No, yeah, no.
I never said a word to him. Like never said anything. It's like, what in the hell are you thinking, you doofus?
Well, this is the season. At least here in Michigan, this is the season where you start getting comments and questions like that, because here we can finally wear like t-shirts and tank tops. Normally I'm wearing like three layers and, you know, a hoodie and a t-shirt and a jacket. So nobody even knows if you lift weights or not. Cause I'm not like Ronnie Coleman size. So they just assume, you know, I'm an average dude, which I pretty much am. And then if I'm in a tank top or something, like right after I train and I'm leaving the gym, that's when I get the questions. And I had a guy, he came up to me before. He's just the most blatant guy in the world. Right in the middle of the gym, he comes up to me, he says, hey, you know, how's it going? How you been? I'm good. This guy previously met me at, it was in the grocery store. So a lot of times I train and then I stop by the grocery store, pick up a couple odds and ends just to walk around, you know, for a minute. And he's like, hey, didn't I just see you over at the gym? I was like, oh, hey, what's going on? I didn't recognize him. He was like, hey, what do you take? I was like, well, what do you mean, what do I take? He was like, yeah, like, I'm on Sustanon right now and this and that, you know, and I was fucking with some trend and, you know, just all this whole story, like right in the middle of the grocery store. So I haven't seen him in a while. Same scenario. I'm like warming up my elbow. Tennis elbow's getting, or golf elbow's getting a lot better, by the way. I think I'm good now, good. Basically. And, he comes up to me. He's like, hey, how you been? I'm like, oh, I'm good. You know, and I had to do the thing where I'm like, in order to hear him, because I have the headphones on.
He's totally interrupting you, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm, you know, 220, whatever it was now. He's like, I just stopped taking everything. He was like, I was taking creatine, but I don't fuck with that shit no more. He's like, you don't need any of that. I was like, right on. And I was like, he's like, and then I was on D-ball for 8 weeks, but I stopped that because I just want to see what I can do without all that. I was like, oh, well, right on. So you've been off for 8 weeks. I was like, well, that's good, you know, and whatever you have now, then this is probably your real muscle then. It's not just inflated with what you were taking. I was like, so good for you. You look good. And he's like, well, and I'm using tests. I was taking test 250 and now I'm taking test 300 and that test 300, it hurts. I got this big welt and I talked to my buddy, should I be getting welts when I take this test 300? He's like, I think that I like the test 250. This isn't working with my system correctly. This is the conversation that he wants to have, like literally right in the middle of a very busy gym.
It's happened to me. And at this point in time, I just, It's just, I just say, this is inappropriate. Please leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just what I'll do. Like, I've done that a couple of times. This is inappropriate. Just leave me alone. Like, he's like, it's like he might as well be coming up to me and, like, telling me about the genital warts he has or whatever. It's like, I it's not my business.
Yeah.
Go away.
Any like, other felonies he's committed, you know?
Why? Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I told you how sometimes people will, when I get asked the drug question, I will then ask them about another illicit substance.
Yeah.
Like, say, well, let me ask. Yeah, and that doesn't faze them. So there's really nothing you can do to get out of it, because there's just like a lack of social cognition there, and sometimes in folks when they're they don't realize what they're talking about, and they don't. It's just an uncomfortable situation. There's no way to talk your way out of it other than just excusing yourself for the conversation.
Yeah,
really. I had the sense like that people, like, if you just say, you know, this is inappropriate, I really don't want to talk about this, have a good day, I'm here to train, goodbye, and that doesn't offend someone like that. They don't give a shit. So it's not like you've pissed anybody off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Got out of the, yeah, you really, I mean, they don't care. Like, they just don't give a shit.
They'll find somebody else to talk about drugs with.
Pretty much, yeah. So, like, that's an easy way out. You never want to piss somebody off. You're an overly nice guy, as I tend to be, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? It's like, this guy doesn't care. I could tell him to fuck off, and he wouldn't think twice about it. So I'm not going to do that. I just say, you know, this is inappropriate. I don't want to talk to you about this. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And that normally that works pretty well. So anyway, you're going to ask me something, I think.
I can't remember if I was going to go somewhere else with it, but I wanted to hear that story. That was, which that was a good one. I remember you had a guy come up to you and ask you about drugs, and you did. You asked him, you were like something about like, you were talking about like cocaine and heroin then in reply.
Yeah. He said, is it okay to use D-ball and Winstrol together? And I said, I don't know. Like, but I got a question for you. Is it okay to snort cocaine and inject heroin at the same time? Cause I got some in my car. I want to sell you if you're interested.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm like, it didn't register with him. Like the sarcasm, like
he was just thinking about buying drugs from you at that point.
Wow. When I had that experience, I'm like, you know, it doesn't really matter. There's really no way to like, you're not going to like talk some sense into someone.
Have you seen, go ahead. Yeah. There's another what?
There's another guy at one of the gyms who's tried to sell me. He's a drug dealer. He's tried to sell me drugs. I haven't seen him for a couple of years now, but that's, which is good.
Yeah.
But he was always like trying to sell me stuff, and I would just, he would come walk over and literally I would say, no, not today. Like, go away.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like this funny thing. He's like, really? I'm like, yes, leave me alone. Not now. And
yeah.
He would laugh, and I would laugh, and then he'd go away, and it'd be okay. Like, he wasn't offended at all.
Yeah.
It was sort of a funny thing, because, like, he's always going to ask some silly question or try to sell me stuff or just some weirdness. There's always some weirdness with this dude.
Yeah.
I would just say, no, it's not going to happen today. Nope. Bye. I'm here to train. And he was cool with it. So sometimes that's my best option, I think, because otherwise you're just pissing in the wind with folks who just are like trying to sell you drugs right in front of the gym.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come out of it, like in a box. God.
That's nuts.
Anyway, yeah, thank you. Now you were going to say something else.
Oh, you again. You know, well, here's my thought. Before we get too far off tangent, why don't we get to some actual bodybuilding stuff? Let's take a really quick break for the radio listeners. And when we come back, we've got some questions from Scott's message board. Sound good?
Cool.
Guys, we'll be back in just a second. Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson, and thanks for not fast-forwarding through the ad. As I always say, I'll make this super brief. We already talked about our sponsor, True Nutrition, at the beginning of the episode, so I won't belabor any of those points, but definitely check them out. High-quality products from an awesome company owned by people that we can trust and people that support what we are doing here at Advices Radio. So I like to give them a shout out, not only because they are our sponsor, but because they are awesome people and that they really care about bodybuilding. So check them out, TrueNutrition.com, and you could use our code ADVICES. And of course, go to BYOBBCoach.com as well as FortitudeTraining.net to check out all things Dr. Scott Stevenson. You can check out the Fortitude Training ebook. You can purchase the ebook version of Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach, which is a fantastic book, which we talked about on this episode. You can also go to Amazon to buy the hardcover of Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach. And don't forget, guys, Swole Trinity is going on a tour. You can buy tickets now for the Colorado event. You can also find that at the fortitudetraining.net website. Guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks for listening to everything we're doing here at Advices Radio. Let's get back to Dr. Scott.
Suck my motherfucking bass.
Welcome back to Muscle Binds with Dr. Scott Stevenson, with Scott McNally, and we are pulling questions from Scott's message board. Scott, what's the URL on your message board? I don't want to mess it up.
IntegrativeBodybuilding.com is the easiest way.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And anybody who has purchased any of like Fortitude Training Guide or the book or whatnot, you get a membership over there, correct? That's how that works?
Yeah. Yeah. You buy the Fortitude Training book, you get a membership. I haven't been doing that for the Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach book, just because of the nature of that book.
Okay.
And I don't have a way to really track those.
I gotcha.
Because a lot of people are buying them through Amazon. So, okay. The Fortitude Training book's only $20, and there's really that's the one where people need to help in piecing things together.
Okay.
I foresaw, like, I tried to employ some wisdom with the Fortitude Training book. 99% of the questions that are asked are in the book.
Nice.
And it's a 170-page book. Yeah. And in the Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach book, which has basically almost everything I could think of in there, and it's like three times as long or something like that. I'm like, I'm going to just be saying it's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, I decided not to do that because it would have just been like, oh man, no way.
All right.
So people can join.
Okay. I got a question here. It looks like, I think this listener or this guy who wrote in might be named Mark. It says Mark, as best answer. But anyway, he says, question number one, what are your thoughts on a vegan dietary approach for health and bodybuilding purposes? My wife competes in figure comps, has decided to move away from dairy and meat-based diet to a vegan and plant-based approach. She has done this for health perspective after watching a few documentaries and reading quite a bit on the subject. I myself haven't gone that route. But I am interested in whether you have any experience in this field or have had any clients who are vegans. If so, how do they fare in relation to people with more traditional diets, with particular reference to not only just building muscle, but also dieting down for competitions, where most people utilize a low-carb, high-protein approach, which seems to be much easier to do with a meat-based diet? It's a good one. It's a good question. And it's something we haven't really talked about on the show.
Actually, we've covered that at least once.
Yeah, it's not something, this isn't like a reoccurring theme, I think. And in general, on any of the podcasts, we don't get a lot of questions about doing this as a vegan. I know, remember Wade Lightheart, you met him in person before, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Wade competed. Okay, yeah. And I mean, Wade was never a big bodybuilder, but he competed as a raw vegan. So he was just eating like vegetables, basically. And that's where he came up with his products, because he wanted to try to excrete as much protein as possible out of the nutrients he was getting. But I mean, compared to just eating a steak, you know.
What did he use for protein sources?
I don't even remember. He didn't say specifically, but I know he was doing like a raw food diet. So I think he was getting mostly like vegetables, raw vegetables.
He could have been drinking raw milk.
But it was vegan. It was a raw food vegan.
It wasn't ovo lacto. It was just
vegan. Straight up vegan. Yeah.
Mm. I didn't get that in talking to Wade when we chatted.
Okay.
We chatted for like an hour and a half, and I didn't get that part.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't. Do you want me to prejudice him in any way when he said that?
Like, oh, you're a vegan. This conversation's over.
Because I've done. Well, no, I wouldn't have done that, of course. But
right.
Because I've eaten raw before, like basic. But I was eating raw meat as well. You know, from
you did that. You did the actual raw. I've heard of people talk about that before. What kind of raw meats were you using?
You don't remember this, Scott? Well, I've talked about this a couple times on the show.
We've talked about so much. It's
I know this is the one. I have people from Tucson who remember this. Like literally, I've sent clients, people that I know in Tucson, to people who remember me for that from a decade ago.
Oh yeah.
Just because I was eating raw meat. Like that was the thing they remember most about me above anything else.
He's the raw meat guy.
I would just eat raw turkey breast. I would trust it. There was a guy, Jojoba Beef Company is the name of the company. Greg Vinson was the farmer. I think I maybe talked about that. Maybe it was on another show that I talked about the cows that he had were Africanized with the big floppy ears, so they were really well adapted to living in the heat of Arizona.
Okay.
And lived on average, he had a very humane approach to it all. They lived on average to be about 10 years before he'd euthanize them.
Wow.
And I would buy like 100 pounds of ground beef from him.
Huh.
And he would try to give me what was the lean, which he was just sizing up with his, you know, just looking at the marbling in there.
Yeah.
But it was pretty lean. I mean, it wasn't like as lean as venison or kangaroo or something like that, but a lot of times it's pretty lean. I could wash it down if I wanted to. So I would eat that raw, and I would go to some of the local farms, like pick your own farms.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of co-op farms around Arizona where you could – I was never a member of a co-op, but you could do that.
Hmm.
And I would just go down and like – I had actually, I think it's over there too. I'm not going to go grab it, but I had a big, it's actually a cooler, it was a bucket. And I would just, I was eating in a very intuitive way. This was when I was in, actually this relates to one of the questions that we might get to about having taken time off. This is when I was in acupuncture school and I was just exploring all sorts of stuff. And my friend back in Arizona, I've mentioned before, who I was in business with for a while, kind of turned me on to this idea of basically, it's an instinctive raw eating approach. And it's based on the idea that we, you know, have only been cooking our food for maybe 10 or 12,000 years.
Yeah.
Agriculture's only really been around for about that long. So we're adapted to eat raw food and raw meat. And people are like, well, you know, we're, you know, like, we don't have predatory teeth. Where are the incisors that you would see on like a wolf or a tiger or something? True predator. It's like, well, we've got our fingers and we've got our hands and our tools. We have our brain, you know. So and I think the archaeological evidence, I'm not an expert here, but I think the archaeological evidence suggests that, you know, we haven't been using fire that long, so there's lots of raw food being eaten. And so I just switched to that. She said, you know, give it a shot. I'm like, what the hell, I'll do it.
Wow.
And this meat was great. And I would literally just wake up in the morning and I'd have I'd throw like a couple chubs of meat in there, and I throw like whatever I have some apples, and this was all like organic stuff, no pesticides, nothing to kind of cover up or obscure the taste. And I would just eat instinctively whatever I wanted to. I'd have nuts, and it wasn't like I was trying to eat paleo or whatever. It was just food that was sort of locally sourced, you know, from the bioregion. And like, oh my God, the corn was just amazing.
Hmm.
Of course, this is not like, this is corn that's been like, you know, it's not GMO corn, but basically it's corn that's not, corn as it once was thousands of years ago, which like little itty bitty things that modern day corn is like, original, like corn, like as it was sort of, came to be without the, man creating the, you know, these giant, like, supersized husk of corn was a very, very small entity. It wasn't nearly what it is nowadays. But to tell you what, that sweet corn, I'd buy, like, you know, like a big bag of that shit, and I could go through, like, 10 of those.
Hmm.
So fucking good. So I just eat whatever I wanted to, whatever I felt like eating. And it ended up being a lot of meat. The meat was great. I ate it raw. It was very convenient. I never had to cook anything. And I would have like maybe 5 or 10% of my food cooked.
Okay.
And I was lifting, and I wasn't trying to compete at the time. Wasn't trying to keep my weight up. And I stayed really, really strong, and I felt awesome.
No kidding.
I was like in the 190s, single percent body fat without trying. And I was playing with some fasting at the time. I think I mentioned, I can't remember, maybe it was on this podcast. There's one point in time we actually went and did a workshop. It was in the middle of a week long fast. And I trained after having basically had about maybe 1,000 calories in the form of like just salad.
Yeah.
Like every other day I'd have a little salad, and I went and did some, I'm like, I'm going to give it a go here with some heavy stiff legged deadlifts. And I got a set of 10 with 405.
Really?
Plates to the floor. Yeah. And I was pretty strong on those at the time. So, and I was weighing like one in the 190, something like that.
Yeah.
After I hadn't eaten for a week.
Hmm.
So I felt great. I felt phenomenal.
Huh.
And, you know, it's not that the food per se, like kind of getting to what may be happening, you know, with some people, is that it's not the food per se has any magical effect. It's the fact that you're clearing your system probably of a lot of chemicals that go into the shit that we call food nowadays.
Huh.
I mean, pick up pretty much anything, like go to your cupboard, you know, and look at any sauce that you have or any cereal.
Oh yeah.
If you have pretty much anything that is packaged, and you've got at least a half a dozen, if not 20 ingredients on there.
Sure.
And your body's got to process all that shit. So you switch to vegan, and now you've got vegetables, you've got fruits, and eating raw vegetables and fruits as opposed to just like multivitamins and what have you does have association with increased life expectancy.
Hmm. Yeah.
And reduce risk of morbidity from a variety of diseases. So it's a health behavior that is pretty well substantiated. Eating more fruits and vegetables, which will happen like when you go to a vegan diet, because that's what you basically you've got left.
Yeah.
Switching from you're going to add those in. So whether it's the fact that you're eating less meat or the fact that you're eating more fruits and vegetables is kind of the big question mark as to what be going on there from a health perspective. So there can be powerful health benefits from a lot of the things that happen with switching to a vegan approach, fruits and vegetables being the main one that people talk about. The issue, however, is and ask any vegan who eventually had to like who couldn't stand it anymore, who would walk past like literally raw meat and start salivating uncontrollably. Their body's telling them, I want some fucking meat because I haven't had some of these amino acids in the liberal amounts that I need. I mean, literally, people who haven't had meat for the longest time who maybe – there's a psychological effect of this, of course. Sometimes people, like, they've done this for ethical reasons, and the idea of eating an animal that's been killed unnecessarily or literally tortured through the course of our agricultural system, where it's just ridiculous the things we do to produce beef and chicken and the meats that we buy in the grocery stores. Someone who doesn't, you know, have that in their head, who has just gone without meat for the longest period of time, when they have meat for the first time,
yeah.
This is a story I've heard dozens of times. It's like the meat is like fucking butter. It's like eating ice cream. It's like it's so fucking good. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't say that with more emphatically. I haven't been in that experience because when I ate raw, I was eating meat, so I wasn't like depriving myself of that. But it's pretty clear, the evidence is absolutely utterly overwhelming that protein quality and its impact on muscle protein synthesis in general, and nitrogen balance is higher in animal products, milk, eggs, and meat.
Okay.
Than it is in vegetables. That's why people who are vegetarians, they want to make sure they get a full complement of amino acids. They have to do food combining, which is something that you could have figured out, you know, in centuries past before we knew what the amino acid profiles were of those, of like combining rice and beans is the big one, you know, for instance, to to make sure you got a full complement of amino acids. But you'd have to figure that out through trial and error. Mm. In much way like herbalists have, like, okay, what does this herb do? Like, I try this, like, okay, it makes me hot. This could be something that could help when I feel cold, certain situations. Like, that, literally, that trial and error over the course of years and lifetimes of herbalists is how herbalists figured out this kind of shit. Mm. Someone could do that if they were decided to be a vegetarian and figure out, like, what foods would I have to combine in order to feel better and not feel like I'm craving meat. That probably wouldn't have happened because you'd just go eat the meat.
Yeah.
Because you're part of a normal food chain, you know, where you would hunt down the deer and you'd eat the deer and that would be it.
Right. And there wouldn't be all, there wouldn't be the other options. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You wouldn't. So, that's the interesting thing is like, if you look across, you know, from an evolutionary perspective, but humans are basically, we are quote unquote evolved to have to work really well with meat and animal protein sources. Those are the optimal ones.
Yeah.
So you're missing out on that, and that's what he basically says here. You know, people, you know, utilize a low carb, high protein approach, which seems easier to do on a meat based diet. Like the meat and animal products are better proteins for that purposes.
Oh yeah.
And you're just not going to be able to do that as well on a vegetarian or a vegan diet. And there's only, like, Andreas Colling is the only vegetarian I know of who was a pro, and that was a long time ago. And there's been some other people that I just can't remember the names of who have, you know, done well. But there's a reason why you don't have, like, a subset of really good bodybuilders who are vegans.
Yeah.
Because you're missing out on, you know, probably the most important. You can get away without carbs. You can get away without a lot of fats. There are obviously some essential fatty acids,
right?
But you're not going to do well without protein, and animal sources are your best sources of protein.
Have you worked with anybody? That's another question he had in there. Have you worked with anybody that used a vegan diet?
Long time ago, but they were just like regular folks. They weren't competitors.
Okay.
So, and we were, I mean, like, True Nutrition has a whole line now of vegan protein powder, so we had to source those out. And there's all sorts of products. I mean, you go to like the earthy, crunchy health food stores, and they've got it's really fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
because they like, and I don't even know, like, it would be really interesting to take someone and say, okay, let's switch you to whatever you're eating now to a vegan based diet.
Right.
Like a real vegan. You're like literally eating fruits and vegetables, and you're just eating as a vegan, and you're not trying to, like, you know, eat all this artificial meat based stuff. Like, literally, you're eating as a vegan would 50 years ago before these things were available. See how you do. Look at your blood markers, your sleep, super important. Your subjective well being, monitor that. And so now, like, let's switch you to vegan. Like, so now you are still vegan, but now you're eating like tofurkey and seitan, which is just made out of pure gluten, which is a protein source. Seitan, S-E-I-T-A-N. Like, I love the fucking name of that stuff. Huh. You can buy that. Like, look it up. It's like kind of a tofu type of thing.
Really? I hadn't heard of that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's seitan, like Satan, but it's seitan. I think is how you pronounce it. Anyway, so, and switch someone to all these artificial vegan-based products and see how you feel.
Yeah.
And you probably feel like shit, because then you're strictly eating vegan, but you've got all this artificial stuff in there to make stuff taste like meat.
Yeah.
And fool you into thinking that you're eating meat. Like, it's like, be like, you know, living off a diet of just like artificially sweetened soda all the time, something like that. Like, you'd have all this, you basically would be vegan now, but you'd be vegan with just as many chemicals back in your, artificial man-made chemicals back in your system as you'd had before going vegan. And I wouldn't be surprised that any subjective sense of well-being and maybe, you know, any blood markers that might be suggestive of a health-related effect of the dietary switch from standard American diet to vegan could be easily reversed by just going with all the fucked up vegan products that you can find.
Yeah.
Because it's a huge section in the. If anyone who hasn't looked, go look at the section in the grocery store. It's like, or go to Earthy Crunchy one. It's like kind of crazy. Like there's so much stuff, man.
The TVP, textured vegetable proteins. That stuff
yeah,
is.
Yeah, there's that.
That's the stuff they used to use. Like that's the kind of thing. Like if you're looking for a good quality lunch meat, for instance, they'll put TVP in the cheaper lunch meats to kind of fluff it out and use it as a cutting agent to not have to put as good quality meat in there. TVP is not considered something good, but yeah, that's like what you get with like a vegan lunch meat type thing or something. It's or like a lot of the like the Morningstar burgers and stuff like that. A lot of that's like TVP.
Yeah, like there's just like so much junk in there. So, here's the other thing. I'm looking at this question again.
Yeah.
Wife of Pizza Figure Comps decided to move away from a dairy meat-based diet to vegan. She has done this for a health perspective after watching a few documentaries and reading quite a bit on the subject.
Mm.
What has she read? What is she? Here's the thing. Like obviously this isn't. I'm not a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Who can address these sorts of things, although I'm technically an acupuncture physician in the state of Florida, but I'm not gonna try to address some medical issues, but what is she trying to accomplish with this? Hmm. That's the thing. Like you ask me a question and the root of her question, like in Chinese medicine, like what's the root issue here? The root is some health issue.
Hmm.
And she's getting her source information from documentaries and what she's read quite a bit. But what is it she's read? What's the validity of those sources?
Yeah.
And what are her health issues? So this is a huge, gigantic lifestyle switch to make.
Yeah.
And there's no real reason put forth in this question. This isn't like totally there, but this is sort of like, and I've obviously entertained it, but this is like the your thoughts question. Here's a bunch of information. Just tell me your, like, now just open up your brain and like let it spill forth. But that really doesn't get to the root of her issue here. So she's got some sort of reason for this, and it's a gigantic switch to make.
Yeah.
To go vegan. I mean, your whole like your the contents of your shopping cart will change dramatically.
Sure.
Everything will be different. Hmm. So in my mind, you'd have to have a pretty friggin' good reason for doing that. Unless you just like fuck around with stuff. Like I like fuck around with stuff. I didn't have like a health crisis that made me want to switch to the raw diet. I'd like to do this crazy kind of shit. Like let's just do this, you know? And I knew where to get all the products and my friend was there to show me how to do it. And then the nice thing about that is based on this, one of the ideas that was underlying this is that your body has an inner sense that we've sort of, covered up with all the shits in our food, and that even cooking the food does this to some degree. So your body sort of has a sense as to when its nutrient needs are being met, and you seek out foods based on what your body actually wants and needs.
Yeah.
And you can't do that very well when you've got all sorts of artificial chemicals in there that weren't there in the course of human evolution when we were taking in our food and learning how to relate with the nutrients that are available through quote unquote Mother Nature. Now we got all this junk in there that like basically that tricks you.
Right.
MSG is like a good example. For instance, like it make you go crazy on your hunger. All the artificial sweeteners are obvious examples, but that whole idea behind the whole raw food thing was that now you can literally, you're eating food, you know, although it's still, you know, sort of modern day, for instance, corn. Not quite the same as what it once was, but you're eating food in a way that our bodies co-evolved with. You're eating the types of foods that your body is basically has been engineered by nature to be eating.
Yeah.
As opposed to foods that, you know, instead of like reading the label and it says it's corn, it says corn and high fructose corn syrup and, you know, some sort of preservative and two or three artificial colors and blah, blah, blah to preserve freshness and who knows what else. And I haven't seen where those things have been studied in combination over the course of decades.
Hmm.
So anyway, that was the idea. I'm like, I'll give this a shot. Like there's no research science that I know of looking at that stuff to give me answers. So another way of knowing is just to fucking do it.
Yeah.
This is a topic we've talked about on here all the time. It's like, well, show me the studies. Where's the research? I'm like, you can learn things empirically. Just friggin' go and do it. You don't need to have an EMG study, for instance, to know which exercise is going to be best for training your hamstrings.
Mm.
Just go try them out and do them.
Like, see what it feels.
You don't have any research. Like, what would happen if I just stopped eating cooked food?
Hmm.
No one's doing that.
Yeah.
But there's some sense to that. And I go through my entire life without ever having experienced that. But I did it. I just went in and did it. And I felt awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe I'll do it again at some point. It's very easy to do. Very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, in both cases, very odd, but very easy to do. You don't have to cook anything. I mean, I guess you'd want to make sure you got good quality meats, right? So it may take a little more work to get them. Okay.
Just get organic shit, yeah.
Phew. Huh. Well, if anybody out there decides they want to start eating raw meat, let us know. I'll be curious. Scott, I don't know if I ever told you I used to be a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian for about 5-6 years, maybe a little bit longer. That's when I was in art school. I was doing it just because it wasn't, and it had nothing to do with health. It just had to do with, I don't even know if I'd say morals, but more along those lines. I didn't like the idea of killing animals if I didn't have to. And I just wasn't like a big eater. So it wasn't a big thing for me to do. I wasn't a fan of eating meat. Yeah. Until I moved.
I would go on this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say until I moved to New Mexico. And due to my work, we would get catered food, and it wasn't always going to be vegetarian. So I started eating meat in preparation to move there. And when I moved there, I had a burger from a place called Bobcat Bite, which was this little known, only locals knew diner, a small place. And it was like out in the country, 10 minutes away from town, but looked like it was in the middle of nowhere. And it was basically like just a little... what do they call those things? Airstream trailer. And you'd go inside and there was literally like three little tables. No. You go inside of this thing and they had it was like permanently there. And they had like a little kitchen off to the side of that. And literally you could fit like a dozen people in the place, but they served up the best burgers with the freshest Southwest meat ever. It was so delicious. And I never looked back.
Yeah. But it tasted probably even better to you because you hadn't had meat for so long.
That's not exactly what I was thinking of when you said that. Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah. I mean, I would go just like to tell you the ease, like, and now it'd be so much, this was like 15 years ago when I was doing this, but just go to Trader Joe's, just go over and like get the organic turkey and, I'm like, oh, that, like those mangoes sound good. I'm going to grab a mango. It's not really local, but just get whatever fruit or vegetables, whatever. I would just eat sweet potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Just uncooked. Just wash the dirt off them and just eat it.
Huh.
Like an apple.
Really?
Delicious.
You're kidding me.
Huh. No.
I got one upstairs right now. I gotta try that.
Yeah, it was very simple. Very easy.
Huh.
That was like, there was like no muss, no fuss. It was a simple, really very simple way to eat.
Yeah.
I just have my cooler. I throw the shit in my cooler and I like a variety. I'm like, I think I'm going to have that today. I would just pull it out.
So you just take a raw sweet potato and take a bite out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, it seems like it'd be too firm not being cooked.
It tasted great. I just chew it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Fair enough. I had one upstairs. I was thinking about going to get it right now, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I dare you, Scott, to go get it and eat it on the air live.
I'll be right back.
All right. Okay, here we go. I didn't think he'd do it, but he's going to actually do it. This is going to be funny. God, upstairs. Why? Oh, he's in the basement. Okay. I'm like, why is his food on the second floor of the house? He's got an upstairs kitchen. It'll be funny. I'm going to go to Facebook here and see if he's watching this.
We can edit this.
No, this shit's going live, man.
All right. Well, first of all, I just washed it off. I got a sweet potato here.
Oh, yeah, that'll be delicious.
I also brought down this can of live soda. This is a probiotic beverage so I can wash it down.
So now you're going to fuck it all up. Like, because then, like, no, you need to have the taste of it settle in. Now you're going to have a soda. A soda with, no, you don't have soda, you have water.
It's a probiotic beverage. This is natural, Scott.
It's full of shit. No, it's not. Where the fuck, there's no soda, like, unless you're living in Willy Wonka land, there's no soda streams running around.
Well, it just has a live culture in it. And it has some, what do you call it, the sassafras?
Here's the ingredients.
All right, hold on. Let's just do this.
It's a fucking soda, dude.
It's a probiotic beverage. All right, here we go. I'm imagining myself.
Keep chewing because the amylase is going to break down the starch and it's going to make. Like, you ever did the saltine cracker thing? You put a cracker in your mouth and it gets sweet after a while? That was like a little, we used to do that experiment when I was in biology class.
I'm imagining myself like out on the plains or whatever. No food.
It'd be fucking delicious. Do the carotenoids in there too?
It's getting better.
Yeah. Now imagine, here's the thing though, like, because your whole... Your taste of thing of like they're totally fucked up. You grabbed a fucking soda. Sorry, I'm being kind of hardcore with you here, but you grabbed a soda. The sodas are designed to make you want to like chug them. Why are you laughing? You want to spit that out?
Not gonna.
Yeah, all right.
I do have some water. Oh, we've got people commenting on this one. Somebody said finish it. Somebody said finish it. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to take another bite, though.
I would finish those suckers, you know. But people, you can do this with sugar snap peas.
What's a bigger bite?
You can do a taste change experiment. I used to do this just as just like to kind of open people's minds in my A&P class that I taught at the acupuncture school. Because my friend had shown me this. So, and people have mentioned this. I've talked about this on podcasts or had conversations. They've experienced this. People who grew up on farms, you start eating sugar snap peas, and they taste great. They're sweet. They're delicious. They're yummy. And all of a sudden, boom, there's a taste change. And they taste nasty. And you're like, oh, I must have got a bad one. No, it's just the taste changes for some reason. I don't know why. The only explanation that, you know, sort of makes sense is that something in your body has recognized that whatever's in that sweet pea, or sorry, the sugar snap pea, is something that you don't need anymore. You're good. You met that nutrient requirement for the time being. Pussy. There you go.
All right. I could do it. I could do it if I had to. If, like, this is my only option.
Here's the thing. Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, of course you could.
Then
like,
I definitely make it work.
Bodybuilding is just like asinine. You're going, you're just like picking shit up, putting it down again.
Yeah.
If you were driven to do it, and you would do it. So that's kind of like, I'm going to try this out and see what happens. I'll give it a go. I think maybe I'll do it for like a month or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just end up eating that way for like a couple of years.
No kidding.
Yeah. But but everything tasted great.
What did you think about like
what I wanted to eat?
What do you think about like chicken and stuff though? Like, was it
chicken? I didn't trust. I didn't eat chicken.
Well, any meat. Like, what did you think about the flavor? Like, was the flavor the first time that went in your mouth? Did you like it, or did that take work?
It took a little while because you know this is just a total like kind of woo woo, you know, unproven because no one's going to do this experiment. Like, we're so deep into modern civilization that you're not going to, you would not be able to get people to do this.
Yeah.
You're getting some interesting comments. But basically, it took a while, and I started to really be able to appreciate and taste food in a way that I hadn't before.
I'm trying to get the taste off my mouth. I'm trying to like get the taste off my tongue now. No.
Is that a Michigan thing? I've never seen anyone lick their hand like that.
I never have either. It's just like that was my instinct, is like just to wipe this taste out of my mouth. No,
you're bringing out the animal in you. You look like that was like a cat, like trying to clean its paw or something.
No, I'm good. I'm good. All right.
But everything started tasting good. And it wasn't. See, the thing about this, which really didn't match what I was doing back then, is I just said, eat a sweet potato,
right,
which you wouldn't have done. But when I would, on there'd be certain days where I'm like, I'll just toss in a couple sweet potatoes in my big bucket cooler, and I'm like, I don't want a sweet potato. I want a banana today, or I want, you know, a plum, or I want corn, or I want, you know, nuts, or whatever, or I want to have salmon instead of beef, or I want a turkey. It would vary, and I was eating instinctively,
okay,
according to what I wanted to eat. So, like, if you feel like pizza, and someone says, "Here, have a big, you know, piece of tuna," tuna doesn't taste very good.
Yeah,
and everyone can get that. Like, you get that. It's like if you're thirsty, someone gives you something to eat, you don't want it. You don't want to eat it.
Yeah,
and vice versa. So, if it's a food that doesn't appeal to you at the time, and you're eating it, well, it's not going to appeal to you because it's not the food you want.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So that was part of it, was sort of refreshing my taste as well as eating what I wanted to at the time. And I just had to make sure I had enough food with me during the day.
I get it. I feel like if I were to be craving carbs, you know, like if you're hungry enough on a diet and I tossed her the sweet potato and I was like, hey, you can eat this, that would start tasting pretty damn good. I guarantee it.
You know this, all the bodybuilders who are watching who've dieted down and like, you know, you'd fucking eat the ass off of a donkey's cart, you know? Working with that, but like when you're hungry enough, like pretty much almost anything would taste good.
Absolutely.
Like there was something my mom gave me not long ago. It was like the thing I've noticed, like dog food. Sometimes dog food like will smells awesome. My mom gave me some like dehydrated dog food, like just add water.
Yeah.
And I was like, that stuff smells great. It smells awesome. And like some of it's, you know, human grade food. It wouldn't have done that if I hadn't been dieting down at the time.
Right.
So that's the thing is you're eating what you want, and you're just basically sticking the rule that you're not taking in artificial shit which tricks your system. You know, just in the way that everyone knows artificial sweeteners, like you take an artificial sweetener, I think this holds for almost all of them, and spill them on the ground. If it's real sugar, ants will are all over that shit.
Oh yeah.
If it's artificially sweetened stuff, like, you know, like the Walden Farms syrup or whatever, ants go right around that.
Yeah, they don't want that.
Because the I'm not sure exactly what the biochemistry of this is, but specifically, but basically the ants know that there's no nutritive value in that.
Huh.
The artificial sweeteners in that fake syrup or whatever the Walden Farms dressing or whatever it is that tastes so good to us is basically binding to a taste receptor or binding to a sweetness taste receptor in a way that makes it taste sweet to us, whereas the ants, it doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
Because they're smarter than that. They're smart enough not to try to eat that shit.
All right. Do you mind if we move on to another one?
Yeah, one more bite. Just one more bite, just for the people watching.
I'll take another bite at the end of the show.
There you go. There we go. We'll end it with that. Yeah.
Do you want to? So he had another question about his wife. We could either go to that one, or we had the other guy, Nick, who asked about what you would tell your younger self if you could go back. Which question do you want to go to? The other one has to do with using a female in perimenopause prescribed bioidentical topical gel containing both testosterone and progesterone. That's the one question. The other question is, what you would go back to tell your former self or your younger self, if you could, your choice, Scott.
I just read through the one. I'll read the question too. So he says, my wife has been diagnosed after several rounds of blood work as going through perimenopause.
Okay.
Has this been prescribed a bioidentical topical gel containing both testosterone and progesterone? The doctor stated that her estrogen level was extremely high. Testosterone level was well below the normal range. Apparently, progesterone will help over time, minimum of 3 months to start seeing results. So lower her estrogen, and the testosterone will bring her back up to normal high T levels. To explain the process. Yeah, sure. So there's feedback inhibition to estrogen production that is exerted by progesterone. So he's basically using the progesterone to feedback inhibit estrogen production.
Hmm.
And he's using testosterone to supplement testosterone.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by the inhibition with the progesterone?
Yeah, he's. I presume this is what the doctor's trying to do here. So you've got the gonadotrophins, FSH and LH,
okay,
which are responsible for estrogen and progesterone production.
Okay,
and basically there's too much estrogen, and so you don't want to add estrogen, but if you add progesterone, that will also reduce the gonadotrophins and thus reduce estrogen production.
Okay.
And right now she's perimenopausal, so she's still producing some estrogen from her ovaries. It probably won't be an issue in a matter of, a year or two when she actually is postmenopausal, because then her estrogen levels will be low and she'll probably be using estrogen. But yeah, so this is an interesting thing because she's perimenopausal. Estrogen level was extremely high. Testosterone was low. So this is something, I'm not an endocrinologist, but that's the basic, my best guess is the basic underlying endocrinology of what he's trying to do is basically introduce progesterone to reduce gonadotrophins and thus reduce estrogen production. Simple enough.
Okay.
So he's done some on. So here's an interesting thing here too. So it's really BGA. This board for a while. This is an old question. I don't know that I've seen him post for a little while, but good dude. He said he's done some research online myself, but don't really understand the progesterone issue from a basic layman's perspective. So hopefully, I kind of covered that. I usually use tamoxifen or Arimidex, blah blah blah, to reduce estrogen levels or to block estrogenic actions, just sort of paraphrasing what he says there. But the other thing you could just do is ask the doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why are you doing this? And that's so common to like say, well, I can't dare ask the doctor. He shouldn't have to explain himself. He's the doctor, right?
Right.
Whatever he says goes. So, and the same thing kind of fits here is that, like with the first question about taking a vegan approach, and she's done this for a health perspective after watching documentaries and reading. So like if you barrel down on like what is the root reason for this, in this case, this dietary change that's missing, there's some health issue that's behind all of this. And on question number two, same sort of thing. The doctor, is going to give progesterone, and the testosterone makes sense, of course, supplement with testosterone to elevate testosterone levels, but he's not understanding why you give progesterone to lower estrogen. And the source of this therapeutic approach is the doctor, so you ask the doctor.
There you go.
Barrel down on stuff. So that's really the thing that I think so many questions that people have are because they just haven't continued to dig deeper and deeper in a way that they could. They're just not used to digging that deep, or they're just not used to looking for the root. And you can kind of ask yourself, so, okay, that makes sense. So why is that? So it's like, okay, so a vegan diet could have some health benefits. So why do you want health benefits? Oh, okay, you like to want to be healthier. Okay, so why are you unhealthy? I don't know. I don't feel well. Like, why don't you feel well? It's like, oh, okay. Because you don't sleep very well. All right, so why don't you sleep very well? Oh, well, I'm anxious, and my job's probably okay. So you've got a crappy job and your boss is an asshole and you're going to become a vegan to fix that. I'm just making that up.
No, of course.
Have nothing to do. But that's the type of thing that we kind of get stopped. We don't. This happened to someone that you and I both know, and he mentioned to me, like, in the course of just like a casual conversation, that he had some anxiety around an issue. I'm like, oh, really? Why is that? And he just mentioned it casually, and I just asked the casual question, and he's like, Wow. Like, it literally threw him off because it seemed like a really personal question. Whereas for me, I'm like, oh, that just makes sense. That's the next obvious question to answer, to ask.
Yeah.
And we don't do that in our society so often when it comes to digging in information. It's like, keep digging and digging and digging. Keep like, okay, peel back that layer, peel back that layer. That's what therapy is peeling back the onion.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people need therapy, because we don't peel back the onion. We wear social faces, you know, and, you know, facades in various ways. We don't dig in on the real deep shit. So you got to pay someone to go tell them about your problems so you can actually be honest and true and authentic. And so it's, you know, not that there's any issue here necessarily going on psychologically, but it's just an interesting thing, because almost all of us asking these questions, we have the wherewithal to get to the bottom of these.
Mm.
If you just were really, really motivated to keep digging and keep thinking about it. But we just don't. We sort of stop. We pull up short so very often.
Yeah.
And not because of inability. That's when it's really cool. Like, that's what I love to help people, is when they've like really fucking dug down, like, okay, I don't understand. Like, I'd have to go back to school for 5 years to figure out how to understand some of this shit. So I'm gonna enlist your help, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, now let's dig in on this shit. But when people have stopped short and they haven't been thinking to the extent that they could, that's when I ask these pain in the ass questions that I often ask of people, where I say, well, what do you think about that? And I get them to think, because I know they can think more than they have. So anyway.
Well, that's good though. I think that's good though. I'll move on to that last one then. This is from Nick, and he says, hi, Scott. I would love to know if there was one thing that you could go back in time to tell your younger self that would have saved you years of trial and error in the gym, kitchen, or mindset. Some people I've talked to wish that they could go back and enjoy eating and training rather than meticulously weighing out every piece of food that goes into their mouth and missing out on family events, when really in the long scheme of things, it doesn't make a huge difference. What would be one thing for you? Oh, he had more, but I think this might be a second question. Yeah. Okay.
Train less and rest more.
Really? And that was from early on?
Just in general, I still do it. I still do too much, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I still think I do too much. I haven't pieced it all together. Maybe I mentioned this. I have so many thoughts running through my head. I can't remember if I've talked to you about them or if it's just something I had in my mind, but I've started to piece together. I've started looking into some of the genetics of muscle soreness and some of right now they're just sort of at the level of like a polymorphism, like singular genes that seem to be involved with why people would get more sore from injurious exercise, greater levels of late onset muscle soreness, DOMS.
Okay.
And a lot of those, there's only about a half a dozen that I've been able to dig up, but they all seem to be related to signaling molecules that stimulate muscle growth. So people who are getting really, really sore tend to be of the phenotype, or tend to be of the genotype, such that they don't have a strong signaling response to produce muscle growth. So there's a connection there between being sore all the time and not growing.
Yeah.
And there might be a more delicate balance there. And I've noticed, I've mentioned this on the show and other shows, that some of the times when I've gotten some keen insights have been when I've been injured and had to step back and found that when I had less training and thus a better balance of training to recovery, that I've made progress. And that's happened to me a lot. So that's what I would do. And I guess a secondary to that, I would probably have, when I was younger and maybe my body's a little more robust, I would have bulked up when I could have handled it more so. health wise, just to like get his, you know, try to like hit the 300-pound level, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to 260, and when I was pushing 260, it was just awful.
How old were you then?
But I've been there a few times.
Okay.
But I was in my 30s.
Okay.
I think actually, yeah, late 30s, I think was the last time. So, but I would have like tried to like really push it up, you know, spent like the several years, take some years off, because I was competing every year, most every year for, you know, like 20 years.
Yeah.
Just a few years off, and sort of would have pushed it, you know, just to try to go up there and hold, you know, because I only held 260 for a matter of months during a, you know, particular off season to come back down.
Okay.
But, you know, try to like be a big fucking dude for a while and then diet down, see what happened. So, those two things, less training, more food, more recovery. Who knows?
Nicholas just chimed in and said, McNally would tell his younger self not to eat raw sweet potatoes.
Perhaps. Yeah.
I think that I could have gained a lot more size had I not been working my very physical job that just burnt through so many calories. I have a hard time eating as much as I used to. Like, I went through a phase of several years just eating so much. And that was like when I got up to 8,000 calories at one point. And I, no matter what I did, I couldn't gain the size. I'm gaining more muscle now, eating far less than I had in the past, but I'm very, very sedentary. I didn't think that, you know, the job I had, which wasn't an important job to me, but with how much I cared about bodybuilding, I could have done a lot better had I just found a different job. Cause it's not like it was a career path job, something like that. I was just doing it just to make money. And had I looked back and changed that, I'm sure that I would have progressed more in that window.
Yeah. I mean, 8,000 calories is ridiculous.
I didn't do that long term. I did it for several months though. And I did grow. I mean, I did go up from middleweight to light heavy, but I wasn't still, I mean, light heavyweight. It's not like I was a big guy. You know what I mean? It's not like
right.
I was,
right.
you know, massive bodybuilder, super or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it would have been interesting to know if I had and maybe the same thing. Imagine if there were a version of Scott, a version of the Scotts who had spent like 10 years on a perma bulk.
Yeah.
And then dieted down. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Might be bigger versions, the bigger in an alternative universe.
He had he looked like he had something else here. He says, also, have you ever had major setbacks in the gym, like going 2 to 3 years without making any progress because before your training or nutrition wasn't on point? And when you came back to those setbacks, if you had any, how did you attack it? Did you start fresh like a newbie in the gym with a clean slate, or was there another way you tackled it?
For the reason that he suggests there, like because my training or nutrition wasn't on point, never really. Like, it wasn't like, if he means by on point, by neglected, no, I've never, that's never happened to me. It's kind of weird, but I just never really have. There was, and I documented this in the Fortitude Training book, period where I overtrained myself.
Yeah.
So it wasn't on point because I overtrained. And then I had to just like take, you know, a couple months off and do nothing. To literally come back from that because I was fucked. I was just destroyed. And then I just started back slowly with what ended up being Fortitude Training. So then that's all in the book like that. And he knows this because he's posting this on my board, and I think he does Fortitude Training.
Okay.
But that's probably it. There, I mean, there was a time I had like a, I've talked about this before, I had a plica under my knee, like a cartilage fold under my, my left kneecap, and I couldn't train my legs very normally, and that kind of sucked. I've documented some of these in an article on Elite FDS. I've had so many like injuries, you know, but nothing like what he's talking about, where I just kind of like, kind of fluffed off for a while and like that.
Yeah.
It was always like, you know, the setbacks were kind of my own making through being kind of aggressive and pushing rather than sort of neglecting my training or nutrition.
Yeah.
So So, sorry, man. Which I haven't been that much of a slacker. I fucked up plenty of times, but I learned from those. So,
yeah.
But not really what he's talking about. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's basically asking, did he start fresh? See, this is another question he's asking what I have done, but really what he wants to know is what he may have to do or what he should have done.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if there is a muscle memory phenomenon in place, and that you'll know how to train, and you'll have some experience. But you don't need to come back and, you know, come back and get the most from the least, is what I would say for someone who's had a layoff, is just, you know, come back and like do literally, even if you've been training for decades before that, you can do like a full body routine, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, and grow just fine from that.
Yeah.
For months, probably, before you need to switch to something else.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you don't need to like, it's not like all of a sudden you need to like, you're going to go right back to what you've previously been doing. When you're at the height of, you know, your progress, you know, in years past, because you don't need that. Like you've got plenty of stimulus from even the smallest amount of training when you're coming from a completely untrained state. So, you know, don't blast past that. And plus, depends on the person. Like if you're someone who like, who does seem to like, kind of like come in and out of the gym and who falls off the wagon.
Yeah.
You might be just perpetuating that sort of all on or all off type cycle by just going hog wild and trying to do what you before. So, oh, I need to be back to where I was. So I need to do what I've been doing. It's like, yeah, but that didn't last for you. Like you ended up, you know, falling off the wagon and not training. So
that's huge.
You know, that's huge for some people. That's a huge thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to figure out how to manage your own adherence levels and do, do what fits with your lifestyle in a way that can be, continued, adhered to, and managed, you know, in a way that makes training fun, not something that eventually you stop doing because you don't like it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think that is huge. I've seen that a lot where somebody sets up unrealistic goals for themselves. Somebody, maybe they're out of shape, they're not training. And then they tell me like, oh yeah, you know, I've got this new schedule and I'm going to start out a diet. I'm going to do keto because keto works really well, I've heard. And I'm
intermittent fasting keto.
And I'm going to train, you know, 6 days. I've been training 7 days a week. And, you know, and the pounds are just coming off. And then, you know, 3 months later, that person isn't training anymore, you know. And you wonder why. It's because they didn't set themselves up for something that they could realistically sustain. Versus if you were to say train 4 times, this guy who wasn't training at all commits to 4 times a week, you know, and that he commits to not eating sugar anymore. Like, let's remove regular soda. Let's remove, you know, sweet treats and things like that, and try to eat, center your foods around protein, just whatever, you know what I mean? Make a few small changes like that. You can adhere to that a lot easier, right? Long-term, and then build it maybe from there. I think that would be my advice to those guys who tend to go, because I can relate to that, you know, being a guy who's in recovery. I'm an extreme person, and when I do something, it's easy for me to go all in. And you know, I talk to people that are like, oh yeah, I'm an all or nothing guy, and it's those all or nothing people that do really well for short periods of time. But the name of this game, like, I remember talking to Shelby about it. He said the guys who do best in bodybuilding are the guys that keep doing it. You know, if you take a guy who's been doing it for 20 years, he's most likely going to be a better bodybuilder than the guy who's been doing it for 5, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always going to be, you know, exceptions to rules, but I'd say that's a pretty good rule to go by.
Yeah. Well, you have to look at the reason why you stopped doing it.
Yeah.
And don't learn from your past and don't repeat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's doing too much, so that when you like, then you have an abstinence violation effect where you're like, ah, fuck it, I can't maintain this.
Yeah.
Then you're just going to basically, you know, get back on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know? And if you want to do that, I guess you could, you know, but at least be aware of the fact that I'm going to go hog wild, I'm going to be extreme, and I'm going to stop doing this. And you see guys like that in the gym all the time too.
Sure.
Who come and go. Yeah.
I work with a guy who he went so extreme that he took all the fun out of it, I think, you know, that he took the fun out of it because he was probably, I'm going to guess he wasn't able to be able to meet expectations in other parts of his life. And he recognized it. He was like, hey, I went too far with this. I took it too extreme. So I'm going to take an entire week off and do nothing. And my thought is like, don't, right. Now you're doing the same thing though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're still doing the same thing. Point. Yeah. What you need to do is not stop 100% because you're still doing all or nothing. You need to, let's find a middle ground would be my thought. And that's just, that's been something, man. And you know what too, that if, when we go back to that other question about what would you change, that would be one thing I would say in life. That was a lesson I had to learn. You know, I was really involved in photography for a long time and I totally burnt myself out by being so extreme for over a decade with it. When I got into bodybuilding, I realized like, I don't want to do that. I want to keep this in my life forever. And that might mean not burning the candle at both ends for 10 years straight, you know?
Yeah. It's funny when you said, you know, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do. And sometimes people actually, I think, not always, but sometimes people need to hit the bottom of their barrel before they learn their lesson.
Sure, yeah.
So maybe that's what he needs to do. He needs to get on that topsy-turvy roller coaster and go all on and all off and go through enough cycles of that to where he comes to the resolution that you did. It's like, okay, this doesn't serve me. I'm not going to spend the next 30 years of my life the way I did the previous 30 years.
Yeah.
Being, you know, OCD one way or the other. People, in order to change, a lot of people have to really hit the bottom of the barrel. That's a really common thing. So
yeah,
it's funny. He may need to do that. He may literally need to do that in order to get off that ride.
Yeah.
That merry-go-round, like, he's going to stay on there. Or he's not going to all of a sudden come to his, like, you know what? It doesn't make sense for me to continue in this way. He's going to have to be like, motherfucker, I can't stand this shit. I'm just killing myself.
I have no other option, you know?
Now I have to fucking stop, and I'm not doing it ever again. Like, that may be what he has to do.
I'll still tell him, and I'll still tell people in that situation because they may be ready to hear it. You know what I mean? And you can't make them, you know what I mean? You can't make somebody see that, but if they're ready for that message at that time, then they've got somebody telling it to them, you know?
I think you can mount momentum on those messages. You tell them once, tell it to them once, and you tell it to them again. There's a guy I saw in the grocery store a couple of days ago. Super nice guy. He's one of the butchers over there.
Yeah.
And a young dude, and he's like, he's out with some of the other guys. He's like, man, like, you're always fucking looking jacked. He's like, I'm trying to like get my food straight and my training, and like, I see him like every 2 months, maybe, you know, when I just happened through there on the day he's working, the time he's there. And I said to him, I said, you know, I'm going to see you again. In a month, and you're going to say the same thing to me.
Mm.
And all you got to do is figure this out. He's like, well, what do you do as far as this goes? Have you even, like, you can Google that question. Google that. So get on your phone and Google that right now. And he's like, he Googled whatever it was for a month. It's like, yeah, it's right there. I'm like, okay. So we're going to have this conversation again in a month from now, and that's okay, because I've been having these conversations for decades.
Yeah,
with people like you see the same people again and again and again, and one day maybe it'll hit you, maybe it won't.
Yeah,
but having a conversation with me in the gym on one particular day probably won't be enough. It's not going to be the straw that broke the camel's back, but eventually, like, shit, I've been seeing this guy, there's this jack old dude with a mohawk who. Always looks like I want to look, and he keeps on telling me I just need to get after it and do it.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of hearing that, you know. And I've been seeing this guy for 10 years, and now I'm fucking tired of it. Like, it built up to the point where he's gonna actually go and do something.
Yeah.
And I told him that same thing. I'm like, eventually you're gonna get tired of me coming and telling you the same thing, like, you know, that, and you'll eventually do something about it. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But I'm gonna keep telling you the same thing. And he was laughing, like, it was a hilarious conversation, because he's like, you're right, you're totally right.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, and one day maybe there'll be a little more seriousness in that, you know, and you'll be like, you know what, I'm not getting any younger here, you know. I'm gonna have to do this eventually.
Yeah. Or it might pass you by, you know. You might not have that opportunity.
Yeah, like, you know. So he kind of looks, and this time, like, when I said it to him that time, he kind of stopped. He looked me in the eye. He's like, I saw this little faint flicker of recognition. He's like, you know what? Yeah. All right, man. I'll see you in a month. I'm like, yeah, you will. I'll see you in a month, brother.
Yeah.
That was it. I'm like, it went on, you know. And I'll see him again a month or two from now, and the same thing will happen. But you're right. You're totally like, eventually, that would be the bottom of his barrel or the camel that broke the camel's back or what have you. Eventually, those messages get through, but you may have to tell someone 1,000 times.
Plant the seeds.
Yep. Plant the seeds. Yeah. So, anyway.
So, I'm overtraining right now, Scott. I'm overtraining because I'm trying to get in all my workouts before I leave for Vancouver on Wednesday. And I would normally
take it. Overreaching or overtraining?
Well, I guess overreaching, I guess you could say. Overtraining a little. Because I would take a day off, but I just yesterday. And I decided no, because if I get 3 workouts in back to back, then and as of tomorrow, then I'll be able to take a few days off and I'll actually need them terribly. I'll need them badly at that point.
Yeah, we haven't overtrained then.
I guess overreaching. And then get this. I don't think I told you this yet. I reached out to Ron Partlow. I told him I want to come to his gym and check it out, West Coast Iron, while I'm out there. And I asked him, I was like, hey, Ron, do you do personal training? Because I would love to hire you for a workout. I'm not going to ask the guy like, hey, why don't I come in town and, you know, you get a workout in with me. You know what I mean? That would be very, I feel he's a pro bodybuilder. You know what I mean? And I don't know what it is in our sport, but we just like, you don't like, you wouldn't say like who's like a good basketball player, like Shaquille O'Neal. You wouldn't be like, hey, I'm in town. You want to throw some hoops with, shoot some hoops with me. So I asked him, I was like, can I, you know, pay you to get a workout in? And he said, he was like, man, no. He's like, I do personal training, but I would rather just get a workout in with you. So I'm hoping that we can line it up. I'm going to get a chance to train with Ron Partlow at his gym, West Coast Iron, which he's a guy who's passionate about training and passionate about the gym. So he's outfitted that thing with all the stuff that he wants. So A, I can't wait to see him. B, I can't wait to see his gym. And C, I can't wait to work out with him. I hope we can line it up.
But see, Scott, you are a pro bodybuilder. You're a bodybuilder, and you make your money through bodybuilding.
Well, this is true.
Who is this pro? Who's this guy like from the Michigan guy who you trained with for years? Who's a pro?
Oh, that was very. I was so very lucky to get to train with Sheldon.
Yeah, so that analogy doesn't quite fit. It's not like, you know, he's just going to be like, you know, like dunking on you in the paint repeatedly. You know, it's not a competition when you're training together. Like he's not, you know, like. It's not like you're a, you know, 110-pound powerlifter and he's a, you know, a super heavy, something like that.
Yeah.
Even then, you know.
He's a big dude, though. So. Ron's like closer to 300 pounds. And he said like no matter what he does, he can't lose weight, really. Like it just holds there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dude, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben Pakulski's, you know, 270. He's no carbs for months and he's.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Legs are fucking gigantic. Yeah.
By the way, I listened to the second section of the second segment of that podcast you did with him. That was really good.
Yeah. We talked about it. It was fun. It was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was good. It was entertaining too. And I'm liking his show now more and more now. I think I like what he's into. He really wants to learn, doesn't he?
He does. He is blessed with a curious mind. And he recognizes that too. Yeah, I like Ben more and more. The more I interact with him, the more I listen to his podcast.
Yeah,
yeah, good guy.
What do you have going on today?
Oh, right now I want to watch you eat a sweet potato, like one last bite as we end up the show.
Well, if I do, I was going to say I could spit it out after we. I don't know, man.
No, I want to see you swallow it. I want to see your trachea, your Adam's apple, your laryngeal prominence.
This like whole thing, like that whole
exactly. Yeah.
I think I had enough sweet potato for the day. Yeah,
I'm
good.
Wow,
I'm good. I'm tapping.
You're tapping out.
I'm tapping out on the sweet potato. Yep.
Not like the antithesis of hardcore. Can't even eat one bite of a sweet potato.
It'll mess up my macros.
I thought you overtrained. Don't you need more food? Like, what is it? Like,
one or the other? Huh?
Like, I don't know. Like, you're not making a whole lot of scientific sense here.
All right, let's get out of here for another episode of Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. Go over to fortitudetraining.net. Check out everything Scott has over there. BYOBB coach. scottmcnally.com for the book, or go to Amazon for the hardcover. Scott, thanks for your time. I appreciate you being here.
Hashtag fear no sweet potatoes. Scott McNally. Adios. Have a good day.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
ADVICES Radio Network.